Womack WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are celebrating the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. We're at Luna Del Sea. We're down on Pratt Street. People say, where are you? I'm like, well, the Royal Farms Arena is a block that way. The convention's right there. And Oriole Park, which more of you need to make your way back down to, is a block away. I've celebrated opening day down here many, many times. I want to celebrate our friends at Window Nation. Do it. Buy two, get two free. I took advantage of that this month, and I'm here to tell you about it. I'll put the visor on a little later, and our friends at Goodwill as well, creating some jobs down here. It's the political season. I've done baseball here. We've done civic events. We've done the delicious crab cake that I'm still working on because we are fast and furious with guests down here. Luke Klippinger is here. He walks through Baltimore when I am not seeing lawn signs and window signs and stoop signs. We have stoop signs in Baltimore in the 46. Good to meet you, man.
Good to meet you.
I've seen your name for a long time. I know a lot of people that know you. We've been doing this sort of semi-politically charged Baltimore Positive for about 3.5 years now with Don Moeller. And I feel bad about people like you that I haven't had on yet. There's still a handful of electeds, people that have been serving for the better part of a decade like you. But you pulled a politician stunt over the weekend that made its way onto my timeline that is after my own heart. You walked your district, and I saw you all over the city. Patterson Park, you're all these places. And then I see Johnny O meeting you over at Graceland, where I had my Little League meetings over in Eastwood back in 1978 with Chad from Al Seafood. And you picked the perfect day, right? I mean, 100 degrees yesterday, 100 degrees today, 72 and sunny. Luke's going walking in 46. I like that. Good work.
It was a great walk. It was 19 miles. We went from Curtis Bay, from the goats at Filbert Street Garden. Walk down through Brooklyn.
See, I'm gonna Google Map this. Is the map online? The whole thing?
We didn't put the map online. We didn't put the whole map online.
But your phone logged you, right? Or like whatever, right?
I have my Fitbit, and it kept track of the number of steps that I did. But if I use the map feature, it drains the power from my phone. This is the second time I've done it. I did it 4 years ago in 2018. I did it again. Just on set.
All right. Well, it came to my attention. Mm-hmm. Ivan Bates was here knocking doors. You're knocking. Sure. Everybody's knocking doors. And
I'm
July
knocking doors
19th,
right after this. I'll be out knocking doors.
July 19th, we have an election. I want to encourage. I mean, part of what we're doing here is encouraging everyone have a plan, have a strategy, get your ballot, mail it in if you're going to the beach, whatever you're going to do. The modern politician, right? Like, made a little known secret. I did this to run for mayor 3.5 years ago. I thought Sheila was going to run. I was going to run as an independent in the summer, see how it went, right? Mm-hmm. I was convinced of that. I tell Brandon that all the time, right? And I didn't dislike Sheila sitting next to her. I liked her a whole lot more than I thought I would, and I've enjoyed the back and forth of all of this. I think the modern politician, not just walking and knocking, social media, having a little pizzazz, and as I said to you, a little politician stunt. Hey, man, that's a great stunt. Walking 16 miles through your district.
19.
Sorry. I don't want to clip you out of three, Luke.
No.
19 miles through your district and talking to people. You know, that's old-fashioned. That's cool. You know what I mean?
It's a lot of fun. I mean, it, and you can't get everywhere. That's, we would love to have gotten...
I saw people bitching at you.
Yeah,
you didn't go to their neighborhood.
I didn't get to their neighborhood. And you know what? That's fine, and I appreciate it. So, I'm going to be knocking on doors in their neighborhood, too. But
Do you tweet him back and say, I'll be over your place on Tuesday?
Yeah,
or no?
I mean, we're talking to one of the people, and we'll figure out a time to have a meet and greet there.
Because you don't want to be that guy, right?
Well, I want to be available to anybody who wants to have me, of course. And so I'm happy. I'm happy that they... I mean, I'm sorry that we didn't get to Westport in particular, because I do think there are a lot of good things going on in Westport. There's a lot of exciting stuff going on around the Middle Branch, around Cherry Hill, Westport, and in the neighborhoods immediately adjacent to Westport in Mount Winans and Lakeland. There
we talked community school down
there.
At Cherry Hill. We talked about all
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and not only that, I mean, they've got a new playground in Westport. The work that's happening in Lakeland at the school is fantastic. I mean, there's a lot of potential in Mount Winans.
Leads is a murder, though, right? Like, we have these great things, right? But we need to talk about those, too. And you will experience
and
that.
You wish that we walked by the scene of a murder on Sunday. Mm. We walked by a place where a person was killed in Brooklyn in her car. and the police, to the best of my knowledge, don't know what happened there. It happened in the wake of what happened in the Inner Harbor on Saturday. And so that's part of the challenge, too. And we tried, and I think that with the walk, we, you know, myself and Delegate Lewis was able to join me for parts of it. You try to take, you don't get around that. You got to talk about that, too. And so we talked about public safety as part of the walk. And we talked about a lot of the things that are being done and being built in all of those neighborhoods that we're very, very proud of, too. So it's helpful, I think, in that it gives you a real... There is something about walking over the Hanover Street Bridge where you get to see the potential.
I've never done it. I've driven over it.
Yeah, well, and people who drive over it, and I drive over it all the time. I'm a state's attorney in Anne Arundel County. I mean, the driving over it is certainly an interesting experience from time to time. But, you know, you
walk... As long as you don't fall in.
Well, there is that middle part where it's a little exciting.
Dicey. Yeah, yeah.
But you look at the potential for that part of the world, but then you also look at at what needs to be done to fix that bridge and to fix and to fix the infrastructure that we have in that part of the world. So, I mean, as delegates, it's important for us to have that kind of that ability to slow down a little bit and really look at those things that are happening in different parts of... Of our district and really get a in-depth view. And you get that in-depth view when you're kind of moving along at 2.5 or 3 miles per hour as you take your walk across the district.
Luke Klippinger's here. He is running again, Maryland House of Delegates, and you're always running when you're running, right? And you've done this for a decade plus at this point. Tell everybody, let's start with this, because I like this, Schoolhouse Rock. What do you do? What's a delegate? You know, what is the job of the delegate?
So there are two jobs. I mean, my day job, I'm an assistant state's attorney in Anne Arundel County, and I handle gun cases and some serious assaults and other felonies in circuit court. That's your day job. Our legislature is meant to be a part-time legislature. So I have that day job during the 3 quarters of the year when we're not in session. And then during session, I'm the chair of the House Judiciary Committee, and we deal with issues related to criminal law, civil law, family law, and juvenile law.
Putting bad guys away, right? Putting bad guys away. Sure. You talked about these murders. We talked about the shooting down in middle of the harbor where I lived for the last 19 years. Putting criminals away. I mean, we had a situation where, you know, Dante Barksdale was a person that I wanted to have on the show, that he was on my list to always want to sit and do this, and I wake up one day, and he's murdered, you know, and I never really got to meet him. Right. And I feel like a tragic loss for me, for the community, for everyone, and then we don't put away whoever, you know, I mean, this is what I keep hearing from everyone in your space. Real lawyers who do real prosecution, Theroux bangs on it, Ivan Bates was here, just finding the people that are capable of murder and capable of pulling a trigger on a gun and getting them off the streets, and then when they're in jail, how they wind up back here, right? I've talked to Larry Hogan about that. He punches, piles it, you know, the whole deal. But the recurring criminals and this problem we've had in our city that's kind of brought our town down.
And it's more than one thing, right? It's more than the criminal justice system, but it is the criminal justice system. It's the criminal justice system that has to work with a lot of other pieces of the puzzle to take a holistic view. People hear holistic view and they think, oh, well, that means...
He's crunchy granola.
Right, and it's not
means
that.
Means go soft,
it's,
right?
Yeah. And I think we need to get over that. I think that the worst thing that we do when we have a conversation about criminal justice or crime in our city is to characterize it as either you're going to put everybody in jail or you're too soft. I mean, the reality is every single case is different. Every single defendant is different. Every single person is different. And we know that, just a matter of fact. You have to have a coherent strategy where you say, all right, there's been a shooting here. Do we know who did it? Do we know who was on the other end? Well, we know who was on the other end, and I don't mean to be, you know, nasty or
whatever.
There's
a body. Right.
There's a body.
Yeah.
Who's related to that body? Who's their friends and family? Can we figure out who their friends and family are? And if any of those people, for example, are under supervision by parole and probation, there may be none. But if there are any of those people who are under probation or who are on probation, we need to make sure that the probation agent is aware that their friend just got killed. And we need to make sure that they're having contact with them face to face to say, you know, more than how you doing, but we want to make sure that you're not going to take the next step to then continue the cycle of violence.
What is a retribution issue, right? In many, many cases.
A lot of it is a retribution issue, and it's not exclusively a retribution issue, but at the same time, if you're not using that data and you're not gathering that data to do that, that's part of the challenge. To your point about... I can't get into the details of Mr. Barksdale's case. I'm a state's attorney in Anne Arundel, not in Baltimore City.
Of course.
But there are challenges when, you know, you have a huge number of vacancies in the state's attorney's office in Baltimore City. You can't expect people to be able to do the work that needs to get done to win some of the tougher cases when the caseloads are high and when the caseloads are challenging. That requires more people, but that also requires more support from people who are, again, around the state's attorney's office and more coordination between PNP, the police, and everybody else. Everybody has to work together, and the second floor of the state house with Larry Hogan and the legislature and all of us. To come back, I think it becomes really, really easy to say, you're hard on crime, you're soft on crime, I'm on one side of the issue or the other. It's not, crime is crime. And threats to our public safety are threats to our public safety. We have to stop treating it as if it's something that can be debated away. It's not something that can be debated away. It's not an easy issue that you can just categorize in one place or the other. You have to look at it holistically. And so that's what I think we've tried to do on the Judiciary Committee. That's what, you know, I bring a different perspective as a prosecutor. We don't have a lot of practicing attorneys in the legislature anymore. That there used to be a lot of people who practice in the legislature. There aren't nearly as many attorneys in the legislature anymore.
I'm overwhelmed by the law, the nuances of the law.
Sure.
You know, I mean, and I didn't go to school for it, right? And you go to school for it, it's still
difficult.
That's
exactly right. And there are a lot of nuances in the law, and there are a lot of challenges that you see actually practicing law in the courtroom that are distinct from what you learned in law school. And it's at this point that every civil lawyer in the world is going to blow up my phone and say that I'm being an idiot. But and there are civil lawyers who go in and litigate in the courtroom too, and they get that special view of how this actually works when you have, in a criminal case, 12 people in a box, and you can't lose one of them. You got to have all 12 to get a guilty. That's not the easiest thing to do. I win an election with 55% of the vote, with 50% plus one. I got to get all 12 of those people in the jury. So that means I've got to have all my ducks in a row, and I've got to have everything ready to go.
Beyond the shadow of a doubt.
Beyond a reasonable doubt.
Right.
And so, again, with that as the ultimate goal, you have to have all your... You're never going to have maybe you have a perfect case on some lower level stuff, but you very rarely are going to have everything literally ready to go exactly right, because that's just not how the system works, and it's not how our criminal justice system engages.
Enjoying being a politician, enjoying running, enjoying walking, enjoying
seeing
people.
I love going door to door. I'm going to do it. It's 95 degrees today. Let's go door to door.
What do you love about it? And what are you hearing when you knock on? You say I'm running for delegate. Do people generally know what a delegate is? I mean, I started with Schoolhouse Rock, right? Yeah.
Some do. I mean, a lot do. And they know it more when we get closer to an election. It's not meant to knock anybody. The reality is, you know, that you get a lot of people coming to your door. There are a lot of offices that you got on the ballot. And people... They see your name.
Right.
And I like going door to door because you get to have that one-on-one personal contact with people. And you can find out, you know, in my case, sometimes a lot of the issues that come up, like last night on Clement Street, it was we need a speed bump in the middle of the road. That is not a state issue. It's a city issue. But we can coordinate with the city to see what
we can do
to slow down traffic. Right. You know people. But you hear those sort of fundamental issues that people care about in their daily lives. And
constituent services, as they would say,
that's what matters. Yeah. And so... being available and trying to be as available as you can, while at the same time, again, recognizing we are a part-time legislature.
Right.
We are not a full-time legislature.
Your name's on the door full-time when I drive through Highlandtown, but you got a gig.
But yeah, but we are still in a state where we have we're not close to a full-time legislature like they have in California or New York or other places. So you do have to kind of balance that out a little bit too. But people rightly don't care. That's not what's important to people, whether you're full-time or part-time. It's whether you're able to help them to the best of your ability.
So you've served over a decade. If I want you to brag on you. It's what the show's about. You're running for office. What are you proud of? What things have you gotten done beyond speed bump in the middle of Clement Street, even though that's not your job?
I haven't gotten the speed bump in the middle of Clement Street.
But other than small things like that.
Because if they found out I took credit, there's nothing there yet. That's going to be a while. Look, it's big and little things. From the beginning of my time in the legislature, I was able to take a leading role in the campaign and to get the legislation passed to pass same-sex marriage, and then to get that on the ballot. Well, we didn't actually put it on the ballot. The opponents put it on the ballot to win the referendum. That was an incredible part of my first term. I was I was the lead sponsor for the earned sick leave bill in the last term of the legislature, which provided hours of sick leave for people who earned them over time. They earned a couple hours a week over time to give them the opportunity to take time off if they were ill or they needed to care
for
somebody else.
Something catastrophic, sure.
Something catastrophic.
It happened in my family, for sure.
Sure.
Yeah.
But another big thing that I'm pretty proud of is community solar. One of the things that we talk a lot about needing to generate more renewable energy. Well, for a lot of people, especially people who live here in the city or live in apartment buildings, they live in row houses and they don't have room to put panels on top of their houses, but they still want to participate. So we make it possible now for people to effectively purchase a small portion of a solar array somewhere else and have the electricity generated there.
My buddy Bill Cole, not Bill Cole from City Council, Bill Cole Roofing, mm-hmm. does solar. We talk about solar all the time, Gordian Energy, yeah.
And they do that. But as chair of judiciary, I mean, we passed some of the first substantive juvenile justice reform in a long time to take a closer look at how we take, how especially kids coming into the process at younger ages, How do we get them better services close to home when they commit lower level crimes? But then when they're committing more serious crimes, how do we tailor the services so that we can somehow derail people from engaging in a life of
violent
crime down the road?
So many of these criminal acts happen with people under the age 18, right? I mean,
sure.
Literally. I mean, people that quote unquote don't know better or
sure.
are unsupervised in
sure.
whatever way. How did that change? You said you changed some laws.
So one of the things that we did is we said first, we don't need to fill juvenile detention centers with kids who have committed lower level crimes. It's not to say that shoplifting isn't important. I get yelled at, okay, but shoplifting is a big deal. It is a big deal. But we don't need to put them in with somebody who has committed a more serious violent crime, and they're being held in a juvenile facility. They weren't charged as an adult. They're being held in a juvenile facility.
Not all juvenile facilities are the same.
No.
Right? Or crimes.
And not all juvenile crimes are the same.
Right.
So you need to make sure that you tailor the services to the kid. I think that's the theme, and that's also the theme that's the most frustrating, and not just in the juvenile justice area, but all the way across criminal justice. This is not a one-size-fits-all solution. It fundamentally is not that.
And you don't want them in the system.
Right.
You want them to see the error of their ways at 14 or 15.
Want them to see,
and at 17 or 18,
right.
they're at CCBC and doing something good with their
life,
right?
We want them to move on from it. We first of all want to accept that, you know, and there are very serious cases that kids get involved with. So I'm not making light of that, but in some cases, and I'm not talking about the serious stuff and you know, felonies and murders and things like that, but on the lower level stuff, kids do stupid things. They break windows, they bust cars, they do really stupid things. We shouldn't forgive them necessarily. We shouldn't expect that they shouldn't be responsible.
We shouldn't wreck their life
for
it either.
But we shouldn't wreck their life for it either, and we should make sure that the services that they're getting are actually tailored to, okay, well, what's going on? Is this because they, you know,
it's hard
a mess
for the government to do custom creative, you know.
Sure.
In policing or education in any way, it's a very difficult thing to do,
it's,
right?
It's very difficult, but there are services that are better tailored for specific kids, and there are services that we're already starting to provide through ROCA in particular, a program here
sure.
in town.
Talk about ROCA.
Talks about, you know, cognitive behavioral therapy, where you're actually looking at what's going on with the kid and addressing underlying issues.
Well, Tony and I were talking a couple
right.
hours ago. We're having a crappy. By the way, we're Luna Del C. Luke Clippinger's here. He's in the 46th. He's walking and running. Is that fair enough to say?
Yeah, sure.
House of Delegates. I've had a crab cake here. This Maryland crab cake tour. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery, our friends at Goodwill and Window Nation as well. I lived down here 19 years. Mm-hmm. And look, man, I'm not on the radio talking about it every day, but I've talked about it.
Card.
You have. Thank you.
We try.
Yeah. I lived down here for 19 years, so you've been on my ballot. But the dirt bikes and the wheelies,
sure,
and the experience of having a 16-year-old kid put his wheel of his
on the
bike
back of your car.
No, or my wife's face in the middle of the Inner Harbor, right?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Going through the Inner Harbor, yeah, and frightening every tourist,
yeah,
with, I'm going to run you over with my bike, and let me show you how I ride a bike like a Harlem Globetrotter, right?
Sure.
Handles a basketball. But the dirt bikes, and seeing people dive behind bushes down here, me being one of them and a lot of us, when there's true lawlessness, that's perception and reality and loud, and the fact that, well, that's against the law, and all of them are getting away with it every week, again and again and again and again. I was in Amici's in Little Italy when 50 bikes came down at 8 o'clock on a Saturday night about 4 years ago.
Right.
That's when I decided to run for mayor. That's when I was thinking, maybe I want to do this. Maybe I want to pitch in.
Sure.
Moeller said all along, you'll be a way better pundit having Luke's on than doing that, that I could be more effective in this kind,
sure,
of a conversation. But as long as those bikes are rolling around here every Sunday and,
right,
frightening everybody in the city and every neighborhood, there's a perception that the PO doesn't have control of this. Like, period. As a citizen,
yeah,
I thought, when does that end, and how hard can it possibly be to make 200 kids on dirt bikes not do 90 miles an hour down Pratt Street? Like, that feels like a very... I don't see that happening anywhere else. And it, and certainly not repeatedly, and not over, 15 years I've been watching, at least, right?
Yeah. And how do you... So how do you begin to address that issue? How do
and
you
I'm thinking
begin
a lot
to,
of them are underage, right? I mean, it does look...
Yeah,
some, maybe
that,
some of them are adults, but...
Some are adults, some are underage. I mean, it means that you... I mean, what we're asking our police officers to do is to literally do everything to stop crime, stop an upsurge of crime, while at the same time addressing issues that are equally, they're scary, and they impact. I mean, I'm driving down the JFX, and here comes a group of people on dirt bikes all around me, and I'm just white knuckle driving, going, I'm just going to try
hope
and get down.
I hope one of them doesn't lose control, whatever,
right,
they're doing.
I need one of them not to lose control. I see it on the BW Parkway coming in from Annapolis. It's not something that we all haven't experienced. The question becomes, how do you begin to address those specific issues, and how do you begin to address that? And in part, it comes with who's managing the store. It comes back to who's managing the police department, who's managing the state's attorney's office, who's working together, and how are they able to do the investigations? You're not going to be able to stop the 80 dirt bikes after they're on Pratt Street at 7 o'clock on a Friday night. You're not going to be able to stop them. We don't have I don't believe that we have enough police officers in the city and the county to simply round up dirt bikes, which themselves are, you know, dirt bikes. They're mobile. They're easy to get around barricades. We're not going to put stop sticks in the middle of the street necessarily to stop the dirt bikes. How do you then gather intelligence about where these dirt bikes are coming from and stop them before they start? How do you gather intelligence in any number of different ways and seek to address it at the front end to the best of your ability? You do that, and I'll go in a different direction here with guns. You know, we did a study where the Attorney General's office looked at guns used in crime from, I think it was 2015 to 2018, and in Baltimore City, I believe it was around 16,000 calls for service. Now, if somebody shoots a gun, you're going to have multiple calls for service related to that one gun.
Everybody hears the gun.
Everybody,
right,
hears the gun, and many people would call 911. So there's a multiplier effect. It resulted in 1,800 arrests, which the percentages in other jurisdictions were generally higher, but you know, not too far higher, but higher. The number of convictions is down around 200-250 over that length of time, or at least the convictions that the state's attorneys,
one in eight,
that the state's attorneys were able to report. And the fact that they don't have a coherent sense of how many convictions there were, I guess, I don't know, but is frustrating. If people don't believe that, you know, you've got a lottery ticket sitting over there, they feel like they're going to have a better chance winning the lottery than getting caught for one of these offenses, that doesn't work. But that it requires...
It's an enticement to crime, not an impediment.
It's certainly not an impediment. And so that requires, I think, the work that has to be done at a granular level,
And not in the papers, and not on Fox 45, and not...
Is it terrible? Yes, it's absolutely horrible. And we should, you know, the instinct is, let's put everybody in jail, and let's put them in jail for a very long time. I'm not saying that there aren't people, and I've convicted people, and they've gotten mandatory sentences, and you know, I'm not saying that we shouldn't do that in some cases, but what I am saying is that's not going to solve the... That might feel good, but that doesn't solve the problem. The reality is we have a lot of severe penalties already on the books for all of these offenses. If they're not getting convicted at the end of the story, it doesn't matter.
They got away with it. Right.
It doesn't matter. But that's the harder work. It's easier to say we should have all of these higher penalties. We should do all this. That's easy. And we've done that in the past. And we did it in 2018. I voted for it in 2018. We voted to increase penalties on subsequent offenders for violent crimes. What's the harder work is the coordination. It's the bad metaphor, but the hand-to-hand combat to be able to actually get in there and address the individual issues that we're talking about here. When people think that someone is watching, they are far less likely to commit one of these crimes.
Sure.
It's human nature. They are far less likely
because they're going to get caught.
Right. If they think they're going to get caught and they think they're going to get convicted, those are the two pieces of the puzzle. Right now, the think they're going to get caught part of it is there has been some improvement, I think, in the city. The getting convicted part of it, not so much. So how you address both of those issues and get the coordination done is the next step.
Really nice to meet you, man. Thanks
very
for coming
nice
out and making the effort to come on over.
Sure.
I had great appreciation for the 19-mile walk.
19-mile walk. I was a homesteader in Baltimore, so my family bought our house for $1 in Reservoir Hill.
Okay.
So I've got a love for this city.
Governor Schaefer gave you some love?
Then Mayor Schaefer.
Mayor Schaefer.
Yeah, took the dollar, and we were there from 1974 to my family was there until 2005. I went away to college and then came back later. But, you know, I love this city. I think we all want to make sure that this city gets better.
I'm 53. You know, I want to feel it,
right,
its potential in the next 20 years. You know,
right.
I want to live into my 70s and get to that point where we're going to get this World Cup bid in a couple of weeks.
I'm excited about the World Cup
I mean.
Not so excited about FIFA, but I'm excited about the World Cup bid.
I got a story today. A friend of mine told me that was involved in the hoteling and tourism part of that there was a 47-page document that had to go to every hotel to say that if we got the World Cup, that these were the 47 pages of things that they would agree to to be a host hotel, including, you know, not gouging and, you know, whatever the deals were. And everyone just wanted to know, are we really getting this thing? Are we not getting this thing? I hadn't met anybody, maybe outside of Terry Hazeltine, who really believed this was going to happen, and I didn't even believe him. And I went to that god-awful press conference. The only day it was hotter than this was that one. It was 105 that day. Mm. And I went over to that thing, and I'm like, you know, how are we going to beat Seattle, Houston, Dallas? These places I've seen Super Bowls. You know, I've done this my whole life, right?
Sure.
So I've been in the last 28 Super Bowls. I've been in all the big stadiums, all the big cities. I've been to the World Cup over in Europe. I've seen how all this happens. I'm thinking, you know, how does this happen? And 4 weeks ago, oh, Washington, your stadium sucks. Your owner sucks. Transportation sucks. Places falling apart. Hey, what if you put it going with Baltimore? It might happen. I'm thinking, well, FIFA's recommending this. The U.S. committee's recommending this. They're not doing this to set us up for failure, to tell the capital of the free world that it's not a host city, right?
Right.
So here I am.
Right.
And you know what I've said to every Washington person who I've abhorred all these years through the Redskins and the Commanders and whatever the hell they're calling themselves this week? I said, finally, you people needed us.
Right.
You needed us. You needed little Baltimore up here.
Yeah.
You know, the little doormat city south of Philly, north of... But you needed us. You needed our stadium. And we're going to get all the benefit of it.
Yeah.
It's going to be unbelievable.
Look, again, I'm... FIFA, I mean, okay.
Okay.
But
they're criminals. I mean, I know about
well,
that.
Well, okay. Yeah, well, that's another half-hour segment, probably.
Did you read about Chuck Blazer? Did you read the Chuck Blazer story?
No, I haven't read the Chuck
Blazer. The big fat guy at the top of Trump Tower with the birds?
Okay.
It sounds like I'm making this shit up.
I'll look it up.
Google Chuck Blazer, and that's going to be your homework. If you hate FIFA, you'll hate Chuck Blazer.
Yeah, not a super big fan.
Yeah,
no. But having said that, I like watching soccer. I think that, I mean, And we've shown over and over again when we bring the teams in, when we've had CONCACAF events, when we've had other events, people come and fill up the stadium. We are a good market for this, and I think FIFA, you know, they see that, so they want they're gonna. I hope they give us.
I'm not gonna badmouth FIFA this week, but on the 17th,
I'll do it a little, but that's okay.
Not now. When it's over with and we got the bid, you can say whatever you want. Try to be nice for now.
For now,
I think our next Maryland Crab Cakes. Well, I'm gonna wrap things up here on behalf of our friends at Goodwill and Window Nation and our friends at the Maryland Lottery. I'm gonna have new scratch offs. I have a handful of Betty Boops. By the way, Betty Boop scratch off.
Don't give me a Betty Boop. Okay, don't do that.
You're a citizen.
Camera.
It's a citizen.
Don't do that. Right.
He's not scratch. Push
it's
it back.
Fine. It's just scratch it off. You scratch it off.
Chloe, give these to people that aren't politicians.
Don't give it. What are you doing? You're fine.
It's part of the show.
I know.
So nonetheless, what?
We've just gotten to know each other, and now I've ruined everything. Not again.
You're not taking my gifts as a politician. That's good.
Heaven forbid.
Vote for him. I found an honest one. We got it all on camera.
God help us.
You know what? When I put this thing together, I like having people together and doing all this stuff. This soccer thing on the 16th, it's the first time since I started Baltimore Positive. I put a call out to my favorite soccer bar in Fells Point. I think you know the one. I don't want to jinx anything because it's not set up. I think our next Maryland Crab Cake Tour is all going to be there on the 17th.
Okay.
I'm going to be in Europe the week of the 15th. My wife had her life saved by a guy from Germany on the bone marrow registry.
We have not met.
It's a thing, right?
Sure.
So we're going over to Germany to spend time with the man who saved my wife's life twice.
Of course.
Thanks, Niels. We'll be over there soon. See you. I got schnitzel for you, bro. So
taking schnitzel to Germany?
No, we're going to Cologne and eating Bayuma Kleiman, best schnitzel in the world.
I'm just checking. All right.
That's schnitzel that Bourdain ate, and he was right about it.
All right.
I didn't even know he ate there. I went there, and then I found out he went
You're
there.
You're buying the schnitzel there. I just was making sure you weren't necessarily
buying and the Kolsch there too.
Okay, that's
I'm not going to buy that here.
That's fine.
So
I'm just making sure.
I'm speculating, which you know as a politician, the worst thing you can do is speculate.
That's fantastic.
But I am speculating that we're going to be triumphant in this bid. I'm feeling good about it.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm trying to put together on the 17th a soccer celebration with all my soccer mafia folks. You know, I'm going to get Petey Karinji. I'm going to get all the Blast guys. Everybody I know who loves soccer as much as I love Baltimore, and if we get the World Cup on the 16th,
sure,
they're going to run out of beer in this city, Clippinger. I'm telling
Fine
you.
Fine with me.
For me. So I'm going to be down in Fells Point on the 17th, hopefully with a victorious. I'm trying to put together a We Got the World Cup kind of show for the next time we get together.
That's great.
Which is better than We've Got Crime when we're trying to solve it and you're walking through the city.
That's right.
Be a day of peace, June 17th, if we can do that. So I hope to do that. Thanks for coming.
Very out. Nice to
it's
talk
really
to you.
Nice to meet you.
Sure.
I appreciate the Christmas cards, the birthday cards, the well wishes, your fights for public safety, and walking through the city. It's great
right.
to have you on, man.
Nice to talk to you.
Man, politician pulls a stunt on, what'd you do that, Saturday?
Did it on Sunday.
Sunday, and Wednesday he's here on the show. It's great. My big appreciation for everybody that joined us today. Dave Sims came by, walked here, damn near melted, Mariners broadcaster from Philly. I didn't hold it against him. I had him, but Dave's great. He dropped by. Tony Asadi brought me this delicious, this is exactly half. Yesterday was my wife's 50th birthday. I got her steak over at the Beaumont. I'm taking her half the crab cake so Tony can see that. This was a delicious crab cake. We're at Luna Del Sea. And we also had Doug Butchke come by from Level 10. And we also had Ivan Bates running for a state's attorney here in Baltimore City. We'll have more guests ahead. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, signing off from Luna Del Sea down on Pratt Street, where you should come before and after each and every Oriole game. Get a crab cake, get a beer, say hello to Tony. We're back for more right after this on Baltimore Positive.